वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I've been asked to discuss the qualities of an ideal leader. Presumably with the idea that at least some of you are going to be the leaders of the future. I'm going to speak particularly in reference to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge for leaders. It's knowledge for everyone, but particularly for leaders. Bhagavad Gita is described itself, Krishna describes as being Raja Vidya, knowledge for kings. And Bhagavad Gita also describes that it was traditionally passed down among kings. Evam parampara praptam evam raja shriyo viduhu. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes two kinds of leaders. Spiritual leaders and leaders of society. Administrative leaders. Both are required. They are called Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. There is a common misunderstanding that one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra simply by birth. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly describes that one is designated as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra according to one's personal qualities and his method of work. So both are required in modern society. So in all societies, sorry. Both of them. At the present time, the emphasis is mostly only on the material side. Modern education might have something about religious side, but the emphasis is very strongly on the material side. This Krishna conscious movement is attempting to redress that balance by creating spiritual leaders. Now, it's not that Brahmanas are only spiritual and have nothing to do with this world. And it's not that Kshatriyas don't have a spiritual focus also. Ideally, they should both work together. But the Brahmana's area of jurisdiction is particularly the spiritual, and that of the Kshatriyas, that is of society. The qualities of a Kshatriya or a leader of people is described as follows in Bhagavad Gita. Shauryam tejo dhriti daksham yuddhe chapya palayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatra karma swabhavajam. The first quality given is shauryam, which means heroism. Tejaha means power. And dhriti means determination. So all these qualities are interrelated. You can't be heroic without being determined or without being powerful. So this power, this refers to bodily strength. And dhriti, determination, refers to mental strength. And in the next line we have yuddhe chapya palayana, means he doesn't run away in a fight. So this specifically refers to the Kshatriyas, the Rajas of previous times. Who would not sit in an office giving orders, but would be out in the battle in the front as required. He's not simply a theoretical leader. And daksham, he's expert. Which means that he has to be well educated. Well educated in statecraft and in practical knowledge. Heroism means that he's prepared to sacrifice even up to the level of his own life for the benefit of others. And that he's a very principled person. Another quality mentioned is dhanam. He gives in charity. So this is different from the general idea that we have of politicians in the modern age. Generally, we think of politicians as people who take a post and fill up their pockets as fast as they can. Or to be more precise, their Swiss bank accounts. To be more precise, they fill up their Swiss bank accounts. So the leader of society, they have a right to tax others, but for doing public works. They are a leader by qualities, not simply by manipulating others and exploiting them. Actually, I don't think many of you can be leaders. I don't think many of you can be leaders. Because a leader has to have self-control. And an interest to learn what it means to be a leader. So if you can't even keep silence and you chitter-chatter while these topics are being discussed, then better you just admit that you can't be a leader. Ishvara Bhava is another essential quality of a leader. It means he has the natural feeling of wanting to take charge. He has natural leadership qualities. You can't make someone into a leader just by sending them to a leadership course. People have to, those who have the tendency to be able to take charge effectively, they can be further trained. You can't just turn anyone into a leader. Just like by, there's no means that you can turn a donkey into a horse. So in the same way, unless someone has some innate leadership abilities, they will not be able to be a leader. This is a summary of the leadership qualities for those who are fit to lead society in an administrative way. The leadership qualities of spiritual leaders, brahmanas, are as follows. Shamo dama tapasho cham kshantir ajavam evacha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. The first is that he should be internally peaceful. He's not all nashochati nakangshati. He's not lamenting, he's not subject to lamentation. He's not always hankering, I have to get some new thing, I have to buy some new gadget. He's peaceful because he has controlled his senses. He is austere. This concept is practically unknown in the modern age. Modern education trains people to become consumers. The idea is that you have to work, make money, and buy many things. If you make more money and have a big car and a big house, you are a better person. This idea is promoted. But in spiritual progress, to be detached from these mundane desires, that is considered desirable. Then cleanliness, that is a quality of a spiritually advanced person. And kshantihi, tolerance. He doesn't become disturbed over minor problems. And arjavam, straightforwardness, means he doesn't speak in a diplomatic way, he speaks in a truthful way. Brahmana should be very learned. Specifically in the Vedic knowledge. And jnanam, vijnanam, means that he should also have realization of this knowledge, not just book knowledge. He should be fit to, competent to advise people how to live their lives. So in Vedic society, these are the two kinds of leaders. Who ideally they work together for the material and spiritual uplift of society. Now, when we talk about leaders, then we may ask, where are we leading others to? So, to understand this, we have to know what is the purpose of life. To understand where the leader should lead others to, we have to understand what is the purpose of life. Without understanding what the purpose of life is, then the leadership is useless. Then you become a misleader. Probably the most talked about leader of the 20th century, certainly in the Western world, was Adolf Hitler. At least for some time, he exhibited the qualities of being an extraordinarily talented leader. At least for some time, he exhibited the qualities of being an extraordinarily talented leader. But clearly, even though he was expert in inspiring people, bringing them together, and uplifting the nation, ultimately, it's to be understood that he was very seriously a misleader. But actually, anyone who doesn't understand the purpose of life and leads others is a misleader. Even people who work sincerely for the benefit of their community or for their nation or for all of humankind, unless they know the purpose of life, they cannot actually help others in the ultimate way. So the purpose of life we can also understand from Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of life is to understand that this material, everything in this material world is temporary and miserable. And that therefore we should develop spiritual consciousness by which we can come out of this material world. And go to the spiritual world. Without understanding this, whatever else we do in this world is all ultimately useless. A good temporal leader or worldly leader will arrange for appropriate education, promote agriculture, make sure there's sufficient medical facilities, and so on. So in this, one who promotes all these activities, maintains peace in society, promotes economic activities, such a person can be said to be a good leader. Because the people under him, they should be able to live a prosperous, peaceful life. But even if one lives very comfortably in this life, if he dies without knowing the purpose of life, then again he has to get reborn. So most important for leaders and for all human beings is first of all to understand what is the purpose of life. For that, spiritual education is required. Religious education and spiritual education are not exactly the same. Religious education trains people in the beliefs of different religions. Spiritual education reveals the truth of who we actually are. That we are Atma, that we are eternal living beings. The body we presently inhabit is temporary. This is not a Hindu or a Buddhist belief. This is to be understood scientifically through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So this is the first prerequisite for a human being, and especially one who is going to be a leader of society. Without leading others toward the purpose of life, fulfilling the purpose of life, one may be apparently a very good leader, but his leadership is ultimately useless. So many big leaders have come and gone in the world. Most of them did not know the purpose of life. Now, another essential characteristic of a leader is having understood the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we should understand that we are very insignificant beings. The desire to be a leader with the idea that I'll be very big, I will dominate others, others will praise me, this is foolishness. We should understand that we are very tiny living beings and that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is infinite. We are all servants of God. So someone may be a leader within human society, but he should understand that I am a leader, but my primary identification is as a servant of Krishna, of God. So his leadership is not for exploitation or self-aggrandizement. But to serve others. Generally, we think that a leader is served by others. But a leader accepts service from others so that he can better serve them. Just like within the family, the father is supposed to be the leader. But he's respected as the leader within the family, but he has to, or naturally, he takes that role so as to serve his wife and children and parents. So this attitude of being a servant and not of being a big boss, that is required for a truly enlightened leader. Education should produce leaders. But leadership can properly be executed by a person of good character. Education is meant to improve the character. If someone has a high education, many educational qualifications, but they have very poor character, then they cannot properly be said to be educated. But a person of good character who's cultured in his behavior, even if he doesn't have a high formal education, such a person can be understood to be properly educated. So although education is meant to improve or should be meant to improve the character, we see that increasingly in the modern age, education spoils the character. And it is at school and at college that the students learn all bad habits. One major reason for that is because modern education promotes selfishness. thinking how I can make myself a success. Instead of thinking how I can serve others. So for all spiritual and material guidance and for good character and to learn how to be a leader, you please study this Bhagavad Gita. All right, Hare Krishna. Ask them for questions. Do they have paper with them? Let's hope there will be some. Yes, so you can ask. If anyone has a question, they want to write it down, we'll give them some paper. We don't have any other mic, they can come up and ask. We don't have any other mic. You can turn this fan on. Turn this fan on. Is it? Just if someone wants to ask a question. Yeah. There's a Vasudeva, at the back someone already has written. Vasudeva Sutanga. Did Sri Gaur return to Colombo?
Today night only he was.
Is he here?
Yeah, he is cooking. Today whole kitchen is all you are doing. He's tired of it.
Thank you. Very good question, thank you. We can control the mind by bringing it to a higher platform. As long as we are thinking about petty things, how to enjoy this world, how to enjoy our senses, the mind cannot be controlled. The mind can be controlled by spiritual purification. The best process for that in the modern age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. I'm just answering briefly, because if I give a full answer, then we'll be here for hours and hours. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. One's desires develop according to the kind of association that we get. If we associate with sadhus, then we will get good qualities. So we have opened a center here.
Okay.
Yeah. The example is given in the Upanishads that the intelligence is, there's the senses, which are like five horses. The mind is like, the mind is like the reins, and the driver is like the intelligence. The mind accepts and rejects. I like this, I don't like this. With the intelligence, we judge what is right and what is wrong.
Mm.
For instance, we might see something in a shop that we want. And with the mind, we think that I want that. So if we just act on the platform of the mind, we might just walk into the shop, pick it up, and walk out with it. But with the intelligence, we know that doing so is wrong. If I want something, I have to pay for it. So the mind acts on the platform of like and dislike, and the intelligent works on the platform of what should be done and what should not be done. One should control the mind by the intelligence and not let the intelligence be overcome by the mind. This is all discussed in detail in Bhagavad Gita. The essence of Srimad Bhagavad Gita is given in the end of Krishna's instruction. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mame vaishasi satyang te pratijane priyosime. We are spiritual beings, we do not belong to this material world. We are meant to live eternally and happily in the spiritual world with Krishna. But we suffer life after life in this material world due to material attachments. So we have to become free from material attachments and become fully absorbed in service to Krishna in bhakti. Then we can get liberation to the spiritual world.
Well, you can help us. First, you have to understand what is spiritual life. You can take training in that and then help to spread it to others. One thing is important to know, that spiritual life and sinful life do not go together. So in our movement, four sinful activities are proscribed. And you can just say what they are. There's no question of real spiritual life as long as these activities are prominent in human society.
Just to become a good spiritualist, that if it is enough, there is no doubt about any other things.
Well, as I already stated, there is a division in society. There are brahmanas, kshatriyas, they are specialists. Brahmanas are spiritual leaders. They are specialists. You might go in a medical college and ask the professors and students, is it enough just to be a doctor? Is there nothing else in life? Yes, there is. But medical knowledge is useful for everyone, but some people have to be specialized in that. So spiritual knowledge is meant for everyone, but some people should be specialized in that. We can become peaceful. Did you read it out in Tamil? We can be peaceful when we don't desire that which we do not require. How can one die in a peaceful way? Yeah. Do you mean with a peaceful mind, or not get, or means that you don't get shot dead? Does he mean to be die with a peaceful mind, or not to get shot dead or die in a car accident? Does he mean to die with a peaceful mind, or not to get shot dead or die in a car accident? It's not clear from the question. Anyway, I can answer both. We can die with a peaceful mind if we cultivate having a peaceful mind throughout life. One can have a peaceful mind if he is content with what he has. But modern education teaches us to never be peaceful. Not only education, but the whole society. The idea that you should get more and more money and more material things. If you have one big car, you should desire to get two big cars. If you earn 5 lakhs a month, you should aspire to earn 10 lakhs a month. So with this kind of consciousness, you can never be peaceful. Whereas if one is content with whatever God has given, then you can always be peaceful. So what is better, to have lots of money and to never be satisfied, or to live simply and to always be satisfied? Yeah. One can also die with a peaceful mind if one knows that one has lived a good life. if you don't have a guilty consciousness. And most important is to take shelter of God, of Krishna. And to know that Krishna is protecting me. So we have nothing to fear at the time of death. We are not afraid that we will go to hell because we know that Krishna is looking after us. I remember seeing my paternal grandmother, she was dying of cancer. And she was in hospital. And she said, "I'm not afraid to die, I've lived a good life." She didn't say that in a proud way, but actually it was a fact that she'd lived a good life as best as she could understand it. So lead a good life. A person who is sinful can never be happy. Very good question. We don't see in the modern age leaders like Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna. We don't see such people. In Kali Yuga, everything is degrading day by day. But anyone who has the tendency to want to benefit others, they can be trained to do so. Still we see there are people with leadership qualities. They may be good or they may be bad, but they know how to take charge of society. Effective leaders have to be decisive. Effective leaders have to be decisive. Decisive means they have to be ready to take decisions and to see them through. It's difficult because in the modern age, if you try to lead people and help people, they'll criticize you. Anyone who tries to do good for others in Kali Yuga, they will be criticized by the very people they're trying to help. For instance, if I tell people for their own benefit, you should not eat meat, then they will criticize me. So a leader has to be prepared to be criticized by the very people who he's trying to help. That is, it's the situation in the modern age. By the grace of Krishna, anyone who sincerely tries to serve Him is imbued with special power to do so. So we can see that someone like myself, who comes from a very ordinary background, I'm now able to some degree to give spiritual leadership to others. You're reading and translating at the same time. Speed reading, looking for the best questions.
Motivated you and other English speaking devotees here to join in this Islam movement.
What motivates me and other English people to join in this movement? Well, when I was about the same age as most of you, about 16 or 17, I looked around me and what I saw, I wasn't impressed with it. Being raised in England, in a country where the level of material well-being is quite high compared to other countries, in which all people's needs are fulfilled and it's just normal that everyone has a car and a house and all kinds of things. I saw no one is happy. So I thought, why should I live like everyone else and be unhappy like them? So then I started to look for spiritual solutions. And frankly, I was disgusted by many of the people who purportedly were giving spiritual guidance. But in this Krishna consciousness movement, I found a philosophy that is clear, makes sense. And I found the people who are practicing that, they're actually making spiritual advancement. Growing up in England, I never imagined that I would be a member of a Hare Krishna movement and traveling around the world and speaking on Bhagavad Gita. But because the search for truth naturally leads here. So that would be true for myself and for almost everyone else from the Western world who joins this movement. Material advancement is in the Western world. But the real spiritual culture is the Vedic culture. Your culture. Your culture.
Oh, very good. Yes, all right. So the description of the Vaishya is Krishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. And Paricharyatmakam Karma. The Shudra is meant for serving others. This is not to be considered derogatorily. But it's just a fact that in any society, whether you call it communist society or democratic society or whatever, that the majority of people are not the intelligent class or the mercantile class, they are the labor class.
For devotees and spiritually minded people, generally we see they suffer more than the common people. What is the reason?
They suffer what?
They suffer more than the common people, at least in class of
people. It might be, superficially. It might be superficially. But a materialistic person can be can have all money, big house, everything, and be completely miserable. Which is often the case. In the course of my traveling around and meeting people, sometimes I'm in the house of a very big rich man, sometimes I'm in the house of a very poor man. So you can be materially well endowed and completely miserable. And one can, but a spiritually minded person, even in the midst of great difficulties, remains satisfied. Yasmin stita na dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. That is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that even if one is a perfect yogi, even in the midst of the circumstances that would cause distress, great distress to others, is not disturbed at all. So it might be that someone on the path of spiritual advancement, he doesn't endeavor much for material advancement. But he is richer than the world's richest man. But he is richer internally than the world's richest man. Who is the world's richest man? Is it Bill Gates? Does anyone know? I don't know either. But anyway, Akinchan Krishna Das here is much richer than Bill Gates. Does that mean that he's, okay. Does that mean that he's just pretending to be a sadhu and he's stashed away a lots of money? No, because his heart is rich. Actually, I get given lots of money. Well, not lots, but quite a lot of money. People give me. But I don't keep, I use it all for Krishna's service. Time up, finished? Okay. For more questions, you'll have to visit our center to get all these questions answered. I think we can give these questions back to those who wrote them, and then you can come and visit our center, and then you can discuss in detail. So, Rambanandri. And I wish that you all may have happy, fulfilled lives, and that you will be ultimately spiritually perfect. Thank you.